Hi, Sander. How are you? And like this one, how do you handle a tornado boss?
I have no idea.
Neither do I. But it's such a good, it's such a good image.
Yeah.
And you know exactly. I would be curious. I'm sure you've got the info on a tornado boss. I would also like to know, how do you handle a tornado employee? Because they make their own little tumbleweeds.
Yes.
So.
Well, that's a whole other issue.
Yeah. We'll do tornado boss.
Employee, because I had a couple of them like that when I was running the Havas agency.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you need to do with those people is you can't have them be the boss of your key people because they're going to leave. So you keep them on the side. You have them head of strategic planning without people reporting to them because they will leave. As I had a bad situation, so I had to take him off this division that I had and had the division report directly to me. That's a whole other thing, dealing with them. If they're good with clients, if they're good with customers, you have to keep them on. You have to keep them on because they're a big source of income. However, you can't have anyone reporting to them.
Right, because it dies a miserable death when when you try to take someone. And it's very funny because I think that there is a very human inclination to think that all people can do all things.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that assumption is one of the most dangerous in structuring an enterprise because people actually do have strengths, and someone who is incredibly good with public isn't necessarily anything other than a menace to organization.
Correct. So we're talking about dealing with now the bosses, okay?
Yeah.
The turbulent bosses. So for those of our listeners who saw the Roger Ailes show on Showtime, Loud Voice, you know what a turbulent boss was like. He was, you know, of course, he died after a year after he was let go by Rupert Murdoch. But Roger Ailes is the example of a turbulent boss. But remember what he did. He made Fox the number one watch news network. That was Roger Ailes, but he was very, very turbulent. You did what he told you to do, or you were out. That was as simple as that. And the reason, of course, he was let go by Rupert was the woman he let go, he fired, went to her attorneys and said, you know, she was sexually assaulted by Roger, and then some other women came forth as well, and he was gone, and he died after a bad fall very shortly after that. But he was an example of a turbulent boy. You did what he asked you to do, or you were gone. That was simple. But remember what he did. Fox became the number one watched news network under Ailes. So anyway, let's talk a little bit more about this. There's a very good article on the subject by Sue Schellenbacher, great management writer for the Wall Street Journal recently. Very, very, I mean, she's a wonderful writer, Sue, the best management writer that I've read in a long time. Anyway, so casting oneself, you know, as a disruptive leader is in vogue these days, suggesting a bold, take no prisoners management style that ignites new trends and crushes competitors. You know, disruptive bosses, they can be charming and they can be very charismatic. You know, more than 35%, by the way, of this year's college grads want to work for an inspiring leader, and 16% of them hope to sign on with a fast-growing entrepreneurial firm, according to a recent survey of over 53,000 students by Universum, which is an employer branding research and consulting firm. But some, you know, these disruptive bosses have a dark side, as we know, a tendency to discourage collaboration, quash dissent, and bury people under one absurd deadline after another. And so how do you avoid being crushed when you work for a speeding crane? Remember, too, very important when you're thinking about this, disruptive leaders. They sometimes veer into arrogance. However, you know, that's the problem, is their arrogance. And the same characteristics that make them appealing also prevent them from collaborating smoothly with others. You know, they're not team leaders. They're big, bold, individual performers. So in leading a charge, tornado bosses may focus on so single-minded that they neglect other needs. A woman named Nancy Halpern, who is an exec at one company she had worked with, was promoted because she always hit the revenue target. I'm talking about the person to whom she reported. In his determination to reach his goals, he often neglected the needs of his team. He would yell at people, harass people, and confuse people, she says, but always met his numbers. So let's think about who we know or who we've read about who does things like that. Well, of course, you know, Steve Jobs, of course, was one. Jack Welch, of course, we all know what he did. You know, the curve that he had, the top 20%, the 70%, and the bottom 10 would let go every year. That was Jack Welch. The top group got large raises, the big bonuses. The second group got good raises, good bonuses, and they all thrived to become A's so they can get the big deal. That was Jack Welch. He was tough. Jeff Bezos, of course, you do what he suggests. And of course, Bezos, you know, a brilliant, brilliant leader. Needless to say, he started out as a book salesperson from his garage online. And look at him now, you know, one of the richest men in the world. I think he's in the top three. You know, we talked about Steve Jobs. Zuckerberg is, well, the things that he did now, of course, he's backing off because of the lawsuits against him. But these are the people that we know who fall into that tornado boss category. So a little bit more about them. You know, to work smoothly with a tornado boss, you know, you really have to figure out whether you have the complementary skills and fill in with where the manager is weak. Understand your own hot buttons well enough to keep her or him from triggering an angry or defensive response. And remember, you as a manager, you have to be working to get the best out of the people under you. To get the best out of them, always very important. We had spoken about that a lot in the past. So a diplomatic way to take part in decision-making is to affirm the boss's idea first, then point out potential obstacles, right? You know, you tell the boss, I'm not disagreeing. I just want this to be successful. So let's be sure we consider these things. This is talking to a tornado boss. You know, if a dominating boss becomes too oppressive, consider the advice he received from another mentor, which is, quote, is the cost of staying greater than the risk of leaving? My advice always is, when you have a boss like that, no matter how much money you're making, get the heck out of here, okay? You can't get up in the morning and say, oh, my God, I got to go to work for her again or him again. Get out. Leave the job. So, in summary, the points, ways to work with a disruptive leader. One, cultivate an ability to change course quickly. Ask the boss for help, prioritizing projects to avoid overload. Don't take your manager's impulsive or overbearing behavior personally. That's her or him. Use your skills to complement the boss' strengths. Learn from the disruptor's positive traits, such as social confidence and persistence. Know your own hot buttons to avoid reacting defensively. And, of course, finally, ask colleagues for advice before offering the boss's feedback. As we discussed in the past, mentorship is very important when you're dealing with someone like that. How do I handle her or him? Mentorship is key here. Okay? So just remember the Roger Ailes show, which is fantastic. I don't know how many our listeners watched it, but it was one of the best shows on the air.
I have a side quick question. I have no idea what the answer is. Do you have any idea how Michael Bloomberg is as a boss? I know what I do know is exacting, but I don't know anything else. I wondered if you did.
He doesn't. Well, I know someone who worked for him in a very key spot. Who, when he decided to come back after being the mayor, he left. Bloomberg took over his own responsibilities. He is a tough boss, demanding, very demanding, but good to people, though. People really like him. I know the head of PR for his firm very, very well. He's tough, but nice in a nice way. He's tough in a very nice way. Doesn't holler at you, just says, here's what I need to get done, and you need to get it done by tomorrow night. That's what I heard about him.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sandra Flom, Leader's Edge.
Thank you, Jill.